And in Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, "And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over to the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am given to them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and to the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." He says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. And do not turn from it from the right hand or from to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. This is a day that you have made, Lord. This is a day that you've ordained, Lord. This is a day where our ears get to hear the very word that you want to speak to us, Lord. So I pray that you would give us gracious, that you would give us sensitive hearts, Lord, to hear, Lord, more than what we're used to, Lord, more than what our senses, Lord. But it would, the word that we read and from your scriptures would not only touch our mind, but it would penetrate that mind. It would reach to the deepest part of our soul and our heart, Lord. It would surpass the years, Lord, and what we know, Lord. And Lord, so we pray that you would bless your word as it goes out this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You are very good to us. You have been very good to us, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, as we're here, your servants, Lord, that you would speak and your servants would hear, Lord. Bless us this morning, Lord, even as the church in general meets to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Pastor Tim has suggested a few weeks ago, and of course, we've been coming here for a few weeks already. It's been a blessing to me and my family. For those that have come, this is just a beautiful place to be. And good to see you, Sam and Stella. You know, but Pastor Tim has suggested, you know, a few weeks ago, as he's been studying, of course, through chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Romans, that we would see, we would read it through, that we would see what the Lord was communicating to us, you know, on a personal level, you know. And, you know, so I took that challenge and I took that suggestion and I figured, okay, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, even though I've read it, even though I've studied it, even though I've maybe preached on it or whatever, you know, I want to see what the Lord has to reveal to me as Tim was sharing. And so as I began to read chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Romans, and that's not the text that we're going to be going through, but I just want to, you know, kind of get you guys going to where I'm leading. You know, it reminded me of two things. You know, it reminded me, as I was making an observation in chapter 7 and then going into chapter 8, of two battles that I really struggled with in my life. And those struggles were real struggles. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, if I had to experience those struggles, then most likely some of you have struggled with those same struggles. The first struggle was my conversion. I'm not going to sit here and give my testimony. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I came from a place where I was hopeless. I came from a place where I was helpless. I came from a place where, in my mind, I was thinking, I'm better off dead, because you know what? Nobody will ever even miss me. Nobody would even acknowledge me. People will probably applaud. Martina's gone, this troublemaker. But my soul said differently. And I remember sitting at church and going to church and hearing the gospel being preached with this old preacher from a pulpit. And even though I was there and I was like, ah, this guy's tripping, I knew in my heart that what he was saying, I needed to respond to. And as he continually, week after week, offered an altar call and made an invitation for those that wanted to accept Jesus Christ into their heart to come forward. And when I did, I finally did after, you know, months or I think a year or whatever, I finally did. I said, this is all that I have. If I don't make this decision, I'm going to end up back in prison or I'm going to end up dead. That's the bottom line. There was no other third option, no third option. That was the bottom line. But in my mind, I always struggled in my heart. How can God forgive a man like me? God, don't you know the things that I've done? Do you know the people that I've hurt? Do you understand, you know, the things that I was involved in and where I come from? Why would you want to forgive, in my mind, of course, why would you want to forgive a guy like me? And that was the first battle. And then through my first years, you know, yeah, I got connected, I got saved, and I was going to church faithfully every Sunday and going to Wednesday night and house church and all these things that were offered, men studied, and I was growing. And I knew in my heart and my life that my life was changing. But as I was going through that season, those first few years of my life, of my Christian life, there was always that battle in my mind. Why would God forgive you? You think God has forgotten what you've done? But my soul and my heart was said differently. And I remember one time being so frustrated that I literally got up one morning and I told the Lord, I'm not going to do this no more. And by me not doing it no more, I ended up losing my marriage. I didn't lose it. I was just, you know, separated. And I couldn't be around my kids. And I ended up back where? Locked up. And as I was sitting there, I knew in my heart, as I was sitting in there back in the cell, I was thinking, of course I deserve to be here for the things that I've done. Of course, you know, I'm not going to sit here and argue that, oh, I'm innocent. I knew that I was there for, that I put myself there, but I knew in my heart that I was a child of God. And so I had a battle with that question. Being a child of God, why am I sitting here in a cell going back to pay a sentence that I owe for something wrong that I did? My mind says, you're not a child of God, but my heart said, yes, you are. And that was those two battles that I always struggled with. You know, and so as Tim was teaching, I'm not going to go over what Tim was sharing, but I want to share with you guys the scriptures that spoke to me. As it leads me to my message. Tim read out of Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. For Paul was saying, for I know that in me, that in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good I do not find, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. And then we hear Paul's outcry in verse 24, who says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And when Tim read that, it reminded me of these two battles. And I knew that even today, standing here, that there was a battle still going on in my mind versus what my heart was saying. In my thinking, I'm thinking even then that I was in a hopeless and helpless state and that there was absolutely no remedy for me or solution for my condition. So I thought. And then, of course, verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The answer to Paul's outcry. And like the Apostle Paul and many of us today, it helps me understand that left to myself, I will always struggle. Left to myself, I will always fail. And regardless of what my mind said, my soul confirmed the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in my life when I gave my life over by and through faith in Jesus Christ. That was the Almighty, going to be the Almighty difference in my life and in your life. And then it goes on in chapter 8, verse 1. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In our sin, we stand guilty and condemned. My mind agrees, but Christ took that condemnation, the power of that guilt, the power of the shame of our flesh and of our sin. And then he goes on to verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. But guess what? That's where we pump the brakes. He said, well, why would you want to pump the brakes? Well, Paul just mentioned something. If indeed we suffer with him. And we say, well, hold up, what suffering is Paul talking about? What are you talking about, Paul? You're kind of contradicting yourself. Why are you mentioning suffering, but at the same time, you're talking about the assurance that we have in a life of righteousness and hope, for this future? It confuses me, but at the same time, it liberates me. You guys ever been there? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe the way I think. But then Paul ends, So going to the question, how can God forgive me? How do I move forward from here? Well, this is where I began to discover that the walk in the Spirit and began to conquer these strongholds that the flesh had a grip on my life. And then Paul finishes right here in verse 37 and 39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul saying, I am convinced. In the hood, we call it, I know that I know that I know that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the question we might have knowing this is, how do we get from being in a place, from being slaves to sin, from a place of being the bondage to being free, from a place of wandering to being, as Paul would say, more than conquerors. And that's where we go to our text here. If I didn't lose you now, then this is where our text starts. In Joshua 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over to this Jordan, and you and all these people to the land which I am given to them, to the children of Israel. Well, we know that from Exodus chapter 3 all the way to Deuteronomy 34, the focus was on the ministry of the law and the ministry of the new leader, Moses. We all know that. We know the history. It was God who chose Moses. It was God who chose Joshua to succeed Moses after his death, of course, and take this group of people into the land of promise. We remember that Joshua was one of the spies who, along with Caleb, said, let's go and conquer this. God has given it to us. Let's go and just take it. And the other 10, we're like, well, hold on, wait a minute. There's giants over there. I don't want to go over there and deal with these giants. And because of that, the result is what? They wander for what? 40 years. We know that. But we learned that entering to possess the Canaan, the land of promise, was a picture, as I think, of what was to come in the life of the believer. The entrance to a life of warfare. And you're saying, well, hold on, wait a minute. Well, didn't we just read, if indeed we suffer with Him, a time when we are, as believers, are delivered from our sin and then begin a life of fighting those strongholds as the old person held in our lives. So realizing that and taking possession of those strongholds and begin to live the life that God has purposed and willed for each one of us to live. We're all learning. But I believe that Canaan is a representation of what the life of the believer ought to be. And what is that? Conflict and victory. As we defeat one enemy after another. It's not only conflict and victory, but it's also faith and obedience. As we exercise our spiritual riches, as Tim even mentioned, in Ephesians, the gift that we have, to exercise our spiritual riches that we have in Christ Jesus. But it came to Joshua by him trusting in the Lord, and it's going to come through us no different. It's going to come through us by trusting in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is, according to Hebrews 2:10, is the captain of our salvation. Now let's talk about new beginnings. Joshua was commissioned by God to lead a new generation, into a new challenge. And what was the challenge? Not only to enter, but to conquer the land of promise. We know that Joshua respected Moses. He was his assistant, his servant. And so I'm sure when they were wandering in the wilderness and they were there, as Moses would go into the tent to meet with God, you know, Joshua would be kind of posted on the front and make sure that, you know, nobody entered or that Moses was taken care of. I'm sure that when Moses was exercising his faith, you know, Joshua was there and he had his eyes fixed on Moses. And they said, all right, Moses, let's see what exactly is God going to do this time through you. You know, Joshua obeyed the same word that amazed that Moses was so faithful to deliver to the nation. So we know that this new role Joshua was commissioned to came with a promise. Joshua knew that this commission had a solid foundation. God didn't ask Joshua, you know, let me see your resume, let me see if you qualify, kind of what we're used to when we go to work or we're trying to go into school or whatever. You know, he says, okay, Joshua, how are we going to go about this? No, you know, Joshua had only one thing to offer and one thing only. And that was to decide whether I'm going to obey God and take God at his word or not. And that's all that he had. He had obedience to offer. I love what it said, that a wise leader doesn't completely abandon the past, but builds on it as he or she moves towards the future. And that's exactly what Joshua was about to do. So, but what came with that commission to Joshua? The promise that he made to Moses. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness, from this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. God is saying, Joshua, do you see all this? It's yours for the taking. Go, take it. You know, and God is telling him, remember what I've said and done through Moses. I'm sure that, you know, God is, you know, as Joshua is kind of reflecting on the life of Moses and what God spoke through Moses, he was probably thinking, man, it even goes further, you know, than Moses. I can go back and remember my grandparents or maybe my parents talk about this certain guy named Abraham, the promises that God made to him, this and his son Isaac, whom God made promises to, and down to Jacob, whom, you know, those promises continue through, even through Joseph to where Moses and now to Joshua. But I'm sure even Joshua, on a personal level, folks, I'm sure Joshua is probably thinking, man, hold up, wait a minute. Not only were your promises true, you know, to my forefathers, but your promises have even been true to me in some effect. Being a firstborn, you know, of none, you know, he was actually qualified for the death sentence as they were in Egypt and the angel of death came by killing every firstborn. You know, I'm sure he's thinking, man, whoo, man, I thank God that, you know, that when we put the blood over the mantles that, you know, that the angel of death just drove by and I was spared of it. I remember when I was there and Moses, you know, he commanded, you know, these plagues to come in and all 10 plagues took place by, you know, by God to the hand of Moses. And he says, man, I was there when the seas parted. I was there when we walked into, you know, into this new land. And you know, and I remember where God provided the cloud by day, fire by night. You know, he provided water. He provided food. I'm sure in Joshua's mind, he's thinking God has been not only good to us and faithful, but he's been a good provider. These things are running through Joshua's mind, I'm sure. I have given you, as I said to Moses. I love how Paul says it perfectly in 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. It is a reminder that in him, God's promise to Moses is God's promise to Joshua, which is God's promise to us, to even today, folks. In him, God's promises are yes. And in him, God's promises are amen. Pastor Tim mentioned something, you know, and we were even talking about it last week. And I said, how'd you word that phrase? And he said, the soul can forget what the mind remembers. And that's why I'm a firm believer. I strongly believe, folks. And that's why I tell you guys are privileged to have a pastor like Tim. Because good theology heals. Bad theology hurts. And it's important for us to listen to the things that are being taught, to study them. So that's why Joshua, God is telling him, you're going to go across that river. You're going to go and claim that land. It's yours. I have given it to you. I want you to go and I want you to defeat the enemy. And as a matter of fact, while you're there, I want you to portion the land to each of the tribes as my inheritance is to them. As not only I promised Moses, but as I promised Abraham. He said, and Joshua was probably thinking, what? What are you talking about? Well, remember in Genesis 12, verses 1 3, he says, get out of your country, God's call to Abram. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Well, this land is the place where God would establish a nation. This would be the nation that our Messiah would come through. And this not only, you know, is the God would establish a nation, our Messiah would come through, but this would be the platform for the world's, for God's plan of redemption for the world. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You talk about a promise that keeps on giving. Let's go to verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. It says, and ye shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give you. And here we have the takeover. God's first promise to Abraham, which is reiterated and worked through Moses in Deuteronomy 34. Now it comes to Joshua here in Joshua 1. Actually, he was reminded of before that. That he would go in and take over into to the Jordan. And not only is he going to take it over, but he's walking into territory, enemy territory. But as the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And to us, that promise still exists. As I mentioned earlier, Ephesians 1:3, God has given us all spiritual blessings in Christ. And like Joshua, you know, us believers must step out in faith and claim them. And that was a real struggle for me then, you know, but at the same time, it's weird because it was liberating. And when I hear those words from Scripture, it says, I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And reiterates a promise that Jesus made to the church in Matthew 28:20. He says, lo, I'm with you always. Remember, folks, that God's promises in him are yes, and in him, amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So here we have Joshua anyway. God's given them this commission. God reminds them of the promise. And I'm sure, you know, Joshua's looking out into this land and he's saying, how am I going to go about this? I got 2.5-3 million folks right behind me, ready to follow me as we go. You know, how am I going to go and lead this whole group of people into this land that's unknown, to this territory where we know that the enemy exists? And I'm sure that he was probably fearful of this responsibility, like so many of us who God has given us a new beginning, a new challenge. So the Lord reassures him with, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. And that word courage, folks, is a verb. That means be determined. It means be bold in what you do. But not only that, it actually is a call to go and conquer. Joshua was reassured that is, you know, by the Lord. That if Joshua, as you move forward in my will, there my presence will be with you also. And it kind of reiterates a verse in Romans 8:31, as Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The victory is already yours because of me. Verse 7. It says, No. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. And do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. We have been given a manual for life, folks. This is it. Every question that you have in any regards about your life, where you're at, your situation, always turn to the Word of God, and God will give you an answer. We've been given a manual for life. And we look at Scripture and read the promises we have in Jesus Christ. And it should be an encouragement, just like the promise as a reminder that the Lord gave to Joshua. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the fear, regardless of the challenge that we're pursuing. That would be Joshua's, God is telling Joshua, this was going to be the source of your strength and the source of encouragement. God's promises, which is God's word. And what is going to be our source of strength and encouragement? God's promises and God's word. It doesn't change, folks. I love what Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So there's three things that we see here as God is speaking to Joshua. He said, first of all, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Joshua had maybe the five books to read, maybe some writings of Moses, from Genesis to Deuteronomy to rely on. We today have the whole entire Bible, folks. But it is enough just to have the written scriptures. The Bible kind of just laying around collecting its dust. We need to read it. We need to allow it to be a part of our conversation, to be a part of our vocabulary. Scripture says that out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you guys ever seen that commercial, what's in your wallet? Well, what's in the believer's heart? So he says, you shall not depart from your mouth. You shall not depart from your mouth. But then he says, you shall meditate on it day and night. Meaning that we allow the Word of God to be part of our thinking, to be part of our decision making, and who we are, you know, as we ponder, as R.B. said, and realizing the blessings that we find in life is actually a byproduct, folks. It's a byproduct of the results of a life faithfully devoted to God and to His Word. The third thing is that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And as we allow the Scriptures to become part of who we are, our walk, our lives, and you know, and actually even being honest with ourselves. It's okay to be honest with ourselves. And asking, have we obeyed the will of God? Has my life been empowered by the Holy Spirit? And knowing this, did I serve to the glory of God? For then the verses continue, for then I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua, you know, Joshua was probably thinking, I was only a servant to Moses, and now I'm commissioned to be a leader, to go claim this territory, this land of promise, to conquer it and lead these people into it. You know, Joshua could have said, nah, I'm cool, Lord. I don't need that. You know, how about if I just leave them and go by myself? You know, and why am I going to be responsible for decisions that they have? Well, why don't I just do it this on my own, Lord? And if it works out, then maybe we'll come and bring them over. No, that wasn't the case. You know, but sadly, instead of marching through life as conquerors, as Paul said, facing these battles, many believers are okay with just being wanderers, never enjoying the fullness of God. The fullness of God's blessing, or even the fullness of God's rest. We'll close with this in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
I remember when my boys were small, I think I talked to them a little bit more harder than I did with my girls. Because, of course, we're raising them to be men, right? But I remember I tell them to do something. Hey, I want you guys to be Jojo Mo. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to be back. And when I come back, I want this done, and this done, and this done. And not like I was a task master or nothing like that. But I would tell them, you know, and it'd be like, oh, okay, Dad. It'd be just like, ah, whatever. You know, and I'd take a step and I'd be like, hold up. You heard what I said, right? Yeah, that, you know, all of a sudden, yes, sir, you know, all of a sudden they, you know, they'd be like, you heard what I said. What did I just say? Oh, you want this, okay. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, it takes me here where God tells Joshua, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those worries, those concerns that you have, Joshua, those tasks that you're going to have, this new challenge, this new territory, this new way of warfare, all these things, don't trip, Joshua. I got you on this. Have I not commanded you? In other words, he's like me turning around to my boy and say, did you listen to what I just said? Oh, yes, sir. You know, all of a sudden, you know, they were with it. But at the same time, I was reminded as I struggled through those that what my mind was thinking versus what my soul was saying. And that's a real battle that exists within the church, within the body of believers. How do I move forward from here? How can God forgive me? The very word that God spoke to Joshua speaks to me. It has in it the power of fulfilling it if we trust and obey it, folks. Joshua was facing a new beginning, a new challenge, and a new enemy, and was maybe even tempted to be afraid. What if I fail? What if I don't get this right? What if it just doesn't turn out the way I want? I'm sure being a regular man, he had these thoughts. But the constant reminder of God's word would give him the strength and the courage to carry out this commission, folks. Now, I ask some of you. Now, I know some of you guys probably thinking, well, we're not Joshua's. You know, we're not going to divide and conquer and put one group to the central, south, and then finally the northern Canaan. We're not going to divide the land, you know, of promise to all 12 tribes. And like Joshua, we're not going to, you know, separate them from the west and from the east. And we're not going to assign 6 cities of refuge and 48 cities of Levites. We're not going to do all that, folks. God is not calling us to do that. That was Joshua's commission. But there is a territory that God wants to conquer in your life today. And I think it's the outcry of every pastor, the pastor's heart, is that we, the church, would just get it. Not you guys. I'm speaking to other churches, of course. That the church would just get it. Fall in love with Jesus. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Meditate on God's word day and night. Make it. You make your give your faith feet by doing what the Lord has commanded you. Then you will have success. That territory may be where you stand, first of all, in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, can God forgive me? Absolutely, folks. And those that are watching on the live stream. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, he desires to. Can I trust him? Absolutely. There is only one thing that God can do. You know what that is, folks? He can't and won't let you down. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to forgive you of your sins? You have an opportunity right now. as Pastor Tim will make the invitation for those that says, you know what, Martin, I don't know if God can forgive me. God can. God wants to. And if that's your heart today, I would ask you for you to stand. We're exactly where you're at here in this building. For those that are home watching, I would ask for you to stand where you're at in your living room or in your bedroom or bathroom. I don't know where you're at watching this. But I want you to stand. I want you to make a decision to say, you know what? This first territory that God wants me to conquer is where I'm going to spend eternity. Am I living a life with or without Christ? And Christ, Jesus is saying, come to me, those who are tired, those who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So if that's you today, stand exactly where you're at. That's the invitation of every pastor, that you would accept Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. He is faithful and just to do so. You say, well, I already got Jesus, Martin. Well, there's another opportunity. Maybe you are a believer, but you've been a wonder and not a conqueror. Maybe you've been in a battle where you're thinking, is fighting what your soul is declaring. Being fearful and not entering the land of promise yet. Fearing the battle, forfeiting that rest. And maybe like myself, asking then, how do we move forward from here? If that's you, and you want this new beginning, this new challenge, then I ask you to stand that we can pray for you. There's room at the altar, folks. So let's pray. And I'd ask you to just repeat this prayer as I pray it. Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. And now that I realize that I'm a sinner, I know that I realize that I'm in need of a Savior. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come, regardless of my condition, regardless of where I'm at, regardless of what even my mind is thinking. My heart says, save me from my sin. Forgive me, Father, for what I've done. Allow me to become one of your children, Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ would cover me, would cleanse me, would empower me, that the power of the Holy Spirit would rest upon my life to give me that constant reminder of what your word says, that constant reminder of the promises that you've made for us. I pray, Lord, this day as I move forward, that I would just live a life not of fear, not of doubt, not live a life of battling what my mind says versus what my soul is declaring. Lord, you are great. You said, Lord, that if I would believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that I would be saved, Lord, I'm confessing, I believe. And I pray, Lord, even for those that are wandering, Lord, those that are just comfortable, Lord, with being in the wandering place, Lord, that you would empower them, Lord. First of all, that you would remind them, Lord, that as a believer, these promises are they're theirs to take, Lord. It's theirs for the receiving. It's theirs, Lord, to go and conquer. You've conquered it. We ain't got to do nothing. We're not running, for the victory. We're running from the victory that was paid on the cross, Lord, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we're not relying on our strength, Lord, and our skill and our what we know. We're relying on the power of your Holy Spirit as it rests upon us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would move us into a place, a new challenge, a new step forward, Lord, that we as believers, Lord, would live to the fullest. As my old pastor used to say, you owe the next Christian your best walk. Lord, fill me, Lord. Fill us. Help us. Move us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.